I would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land in which this podcast is being recorded, the Gunai Kurnai Nation. I pay my respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders, especially those listening here today. Welcome to Catch Me Outside My Comfort Zone, a lifestyle podcast that focuses on the outside of our zones as well as the inside of our homes. I'm your host, Alyssa Sutherland, designer, entrepreneur, self-development enthusiast, and your ultimate hype up sis. Come with me as I take you on an empowered and inspiring journey to build the life of your dreams. This is your safe space where you are supported, you are guided, and you know that you are more than capable of achieving everything you have always desired. So get comfortable with being uncomfortable, settle in for the ride. This is your life, and it's time to claim it. Oh dear, this is it. This is the final episode of 2024, of season two. Of this chapter, of this era, and I want to pour all I can into this episode. So let's see what happens. Let's see what we can pour into it. And I hope that you are sitting or walking or driving or listening to this at a time where you are feeling calm and you're feeling reflective and you're feeling optimistic and abundant about the year ahead, and you're holding a lot of grace and a lot of space and a lot of love for the year that you've had. And 2024 has been a big one. It's been a fast one, but I know that 2025 is going to be an even greater one, and I'm very excited personally to get into the next year. And with that becomes a whole new set and series of objectives, of goals, of lifestyle desires, and ultimately a fresh vision for the year ahead. And I love to set my year up because I want to hold myself accountable and have that integrity for myself to, you know, achieve the things that I desire and I've set out for myself to achieve. And if I don't have a plan, if I don't have a vision, I don't have something in writing, then I'm not going to do it because it's not in the real world. It's not in the physical realm. It's just in my brain, and that doesn't really exist. So I think the crazy thing about entering a new year and New Year's resolutions is you say you're going to do these things, but if you don't have an action plan, you're not going to actually do it. So today's episode is creating that action plan and pour in everything you can into the year ahead. And for me, a word that's coming up, and it's because someone said it to me at our cold dip this morning when we were discussing morning routines and things like that. She said, you just have to romanticize the little things. And I've often had people tell me that I'm really good at romanticizing things, and I just don't even look at it that way because I just... I don't know. I haven't intentionally thought I need to romanticize this. It's like I just naturally do appreciate the little moments and pockets in life. And I guess being someone who lives for the moment and lives for making things special and putting that energy and effort into everything is something that I've just embodied for a really long time. And actually, that just jogged my brain to back to my birthday. This is so selfish of me and so self-absorbed, but we already know that I'm a main character when it's Sag season. And on the night of my birthday, I had my mum and my dad here and my beautiful friend Chels, who you all know and love. And I said, okay, guys, like everyone needs to say their favorite thing about me. Because throwback to my 21st birthday, I don't know how it happened. I think it was just when we were doing speeches. And mind you, my 21st birthday happened in the middle of COVID back in 2021? 2020? 2020, I think. Yes, 2020. So I could only have 15 people, which was actually quite lucky compared to the rest of my friends. So, you know, there was only a couple of people doing speeches, and it kind of just became a bit of a thing. Like, then everyone started to like add on and add their little thing to say. And it was like my favorite thing in the whole wide world, because words of affirmation is my biggest love language. And just hearing when people talk about like stories or memories that they've had with me, it just makes my heart burst. And like, you know, it's so nice to feel special in other people's lives and that you've made an impact on their life. And when people notice the things about you, I guess, that you put a lot of energy into doing and being, it's just a really beautiful thing to have been credited for. And so, yeah, that happened on my 21st birthday. So I feel like every year I'm just like, okay, everyone say their favorite thing about me. And Chelsea said, she goes, you always just put 100% into like the things that you do and the vibe you create and the energy, like whether, you know, it's a simple thing as like if you're making, you know, cocktails for everyone coming over, you've got the glassware, you've got the mixers, you've got the garnishes, like you pour your heart and soul into everything that you do because you want to do it with love and you want to do it like fully, properly. And but for you, that's not an effort. It's just the way you do it. And I'm just like, oh my God, that's such a beautiful thing to notice, because I just love living life to the fullest, I guess, and making everything special, because it's like, don't half ask anything in life. Like, there's no point half asking it. You're going to do it, you're going to do it properly, kind of thing. And yeah, I'm just someone who wants to live a life that, in my opinion, I think it's simple, but it's, I guess, probably really extra, a lot of the things that I do, but I wouldn't have it any other way. And that comes back to that romanticizing feeling of like, okay, if you're going to have a cocktail, have a fucking cocktail, you know what I mean? And if you're going to, you know, put music on in the morning, you've got to put your fucking record player on and you've got to burn your incense and you've got to have it blasting and you're going to be skin icing your face at the exact same time as cooking a really bougie breakfast and having a coffee. Like, it's got to be a full thing. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just a full glass, 9/10 full kind of gal. And I think everyone could do with embodying a bit of that sometimes. And especially after this conversation that happened this morning at coffee, when this person was sort of saying, you know, I struggle to get up on my day off because I don't have anything to get up for. And then that kind of makes me anxious. And I'm just like, well, there's nothing wrong with having nothing to get up for. Like the fact that you can just get up and you've got all the day to, you know, make yourself a cup of tea, and whether you get back into bed and have it or you go and sit outside in the sun, you know, it's just a making the little things in life feel special. Yeah, you might not have someone to sit and have a cup of tea with. And I think perhaps like I could relate to this because, again, someone who lives by themselves as well, is you can't wait for someone to come along to make life romantic. Like, you can't wait for that. You know what I mean? Life slips by, and if one day you're only going to be, you might be by yourself. So it's important to be able to enjoy your life and have those romantic moments with yourself, because it's like you should be the love of your own fucking life. And I just think I've done a pretty good fucking job at that. Sorry for all the fucks, but honestly, like I am very much a romanticist. And I know that when I am in a romantic relationship, that I'll pour all that love and energy and make everything special for the person that I'm with as well, because that's just who I am. And that's an effortless thing for me. It's like it's water off my back, you know what I mean? So I think that word seems to be a theme that I feel like I'm stepping into in next year. And I'm really excited for New Year's Day to come, because with our cold dip happening on New Year's Day, we're teaming up with Sammy and we're doing a cold dip. But before we're doing the cold dip, which is obviously happening this Wednesday, we are doing a bit of a breathwork meditation sort of session, and just something short and sweet. But in that time, I'm going to sort of give the moment for you to have a reflection and go into your intention of like, what is my word of the year ahead and what is the feeling that I want to embody. And yeah, I think that's it's something that usually comes to me at midnight on New Year's Eve. And last year it was the word abundant for me. And yeah, for some reason, romanticizing life is coming in pretty hot, and that whole flow state and just surrender and yeah, least resistance. You know what I mean? I'm not a reactive person anymore. I just take things as they come and as things happen and just hold space for things if I need to. And I think that's all you got to do. So just taking it as it comes. But I want to have a clear vision. I'm not a structural person. Like, clearly I'm like, you know, flowy, gypsy, spontaneous, Sag, I am. But if I don't have a plan, like I said earlier, I have no direction, I have no goal, and I will not achieve anything. So I'm a visual person as a creative. So vision boarding is my favorite way to set my year up. And even if it's just a 6-monthly board and then sort of come back and rejig it, but setting myself a few different categories of my life that I obviously focus on, whether that's health, whether it's work, family, friendships, catch me outside my comfort zone, my business, romantic relationships, whatever it is, and sort of like creating the whole vision of what I desire that to look like. And Pinterest is my best friend for creating my vision board. And I do a digital one on Pinterest, and it just evolves as the year goes on. Like, it has hundreds of photos in it. And I love that, because if I just am scrolling on Pinterest, which I do a lot of the time for work, for inspo and things like that, I will see something. I'm like, yes, that's going in my 2024 vision board. And I keep adding to it. And then at the end of the year, I go back and I scroll right to the bottom and I see like the first thing. I'm just like, holy shit, I can't believe that was on the beginning of my vision board and I didn't even think twice about it and that happened. Like, whether it might be someone like standing up giving a speech, or it might be a book, or, and I like launched a journal last year, or it might be, you know, the setting of an event and it's like, oh, well, I did host that event. And, you know, just, you know how it sort of relates to the fruition that has come through for you. But yeah, I think it's cool even just to add little things that you want throughout the year, whether it might be like a new bag you want or a new pair of shoes and things like that. Like, manifesting is continuously happening in our lives. It's inevitable. We can't stop it. We can't change it. Sorry, we can change it. We can't not manifest. So when people are like, oh, it's not real, it's not a thing, and they're in denial about it because they think you can't manifest $1 million. Well, you can. And firstly, you're not going to, because you don't believe you can. So that's the moral of the story. But we're manifesting all the time. It's a brainwave pattern. It's scientifically proven. It's an energy. It's a frequency. It's all about magnetism. It's all about law of attraction, all these things. And if you're walking around the earth in a negative state and you're in disbelief about things and you are, you know, a glass half empty kind of person, you're always like predicting negative outcomes and wanting the worst thing to happen and just always looking at things from a negative perspective, and you don't idolize the positive things or the possibilities of things, then yeah, you're probably not going to believe in manifesting, because you're having shit thing after shit thing happen to you because of the frequency and negativity vibration that you're on. You're actually manifesting more negative outcomes. And that's a hard truth for people to hear, because they're like, well, that's bullshit. But it's like, no, it's not bullshit. And they're like, oh, but I'm just a realist. Okay, you can be a realist. That's fine. This is reality. Shit things happen to everybody. But you're going to have more continue to happen to you if you don't block and change the cycle. So it goes back to the whole example of like, you've slept in past your alarm in the morning, you're running late, you fucking stub your toe, you can't find your bra, you fucking burn your toast, you can't find your keys, you forget the most important thing that you needed to take to work that day, you get stuck behind every caravan on the road and at every red light, and you get in and you've got a shit email that's on your laptop when you get to work, whatever it is, it's you get there and you go, well, what else is going to happen? You know, what now? Like, everything is just going to get worse and worse. Like, what, you know? And as soon as you're in that negative spiral, it's hard to stop it and it's hard to change it. But if you don't, it just continues to evolve. So that's the power of waking up and having a really beautiful morning routine, to flip that on its head and have a really high vibrational, high energy, high frequency kind of morning that then spirals into a more positive day with more positive outcomes. So yeah, take it or leave it. Honestly, it's up to you. It's for when you're ready to take that on board. But just so you know that you're manifesting all the time, so you may as well choose what you want to actually manifest, whether it's a car park out the front of a shop, which, like, it's my favorite party trick. Like, I was with my grandma the other day. She came and picked me up because I dropped my car off for a service and we're going out for brunch. And I said, like, we'll get a park out the front. Like, this is the main street. Like, it's hectic. You never get a park out the front. But I said, no, we're going to get a park out the front. She goes, do you think? And I was just like, I don't think I know. Did we get a park out the front? Yes, we did. Okay. A car was leaving just as we were coming through. So yeah, you can manifest anything, honestly. And so funny, today I've been having the most abundant day ever, and I was like finishing up my Christmas shopping. So I'm obviously recording this a little far in advance to when you're listening, so just keep that in mind. And I was finishing off my Christmas shopping and I'd like got this park out the front of this shop, and I went into the shop and I was like, yes, this is awesome. I got like my last three Christmas presents in there. Even better, I had a voucher to spend that I got for Christmas last year, and I used that to cover the presents. That I only had to pay like $11 or something, so that's angel number right there. And I was like, how good is this? Like, feeling so abundant that I haven't had to spend money on these Christmas presents. And I was buying like a set of glasses, and the lady was like, oh, do you need a hand with this? Like, is your car far away? I was like, no, I gotta park right out the front. You know, the universe really has my back today. And they're like, well, enjoy the rest of your day with the universe having your back. And it was just a continuum of series of events of divine timing and crossing paths and just like a really amazing, beautiful, abundant things. And that was just the power of, you know, starting my morning with a cold dip and just doing all the fucking high vibe things. It just continued to evolve into the rest of the day being quite optimistic and positive. And I think I've changed the trajectory of where I was going with that story. But ultimately, you can manifest anything. Where's where I was going with that, I think. But anyway, we're here to talk about the vision boarding, and then we're going to get into my favorite thing to do for a year ahead, which is writing a letter to your future self. So firstly, some short and sweet things to consider as we leave the year behind and as we enter the fresh one. We know that we can't bring anything new into our lives if we haven't let go of anything that is still holding space, that doesn't deserve our energy, that doesn't serve us anymore. So we're all about the removal, the deletion, the taking the dishes out of the dishwasher. You know, if you know, you know, my favorite saying, in order to make space for the new things to come through. So I saw this the other day and it was said, you know, it's December. So what do we do in December? We declutter, we detach, we delete anything that devalues our life. We are not bringing that into 2025. So with everything in life, and this is the first chapter and first day of the Next Level Self ebook, which I'll put the link into the show notes, because I think everyone who has done this in the past or who wants to do this, like, needs to do this if you're really ready to take action into your new year, is to do the Next Level Self ebook, which is on my website. So I'll pop the link in the show notes. But the first day is all about that letting go process. And it's the hardest, most like confronting day, because we know that we're always all going to be holding on to something that we need to let go of. And it's a hard thing to come to terms with. But if we don't, we're not going to have room for something new. So thinking of all those things in your life that you're like, you know what, that served me for the year, It really did. It brought me purpose. It had its moment. I'm so grateful for that person, that opportunity, that job, that life, that community. But for now, I'm leaving it in 2024. Its season is over. That chapter is closed. So deleting it, decluttering it, detaching it, you know, is there things in our house that are holding space that we don't need anymore? Is there clothes that don't fit us? Is there, you know, a person we're holding on to that we need to detach from? What is devaluing our life? Are we in the wrong friendship groups? Are we in the wrong job? Are we living in the wrong place? Like, wherever you feel there is devalue and something that doesn't appreciate you and doesn't hold space for you, we need to delete. Control, Alt, Delete that. And you don't have to have, like, unless it's like, okay, you need to write your resignation letter and say to your boss, like, I'm tapping out or breaking up with someone or whatever it is. You don't always have to have this conversation with someone. This can be something that you simply journal about and rip it out and rip it to shreds or burn it or whatever you do. But sometimes there's having that forgiveness and then letting things go. And I heard that on a podcast yesterday, and it was like, you're allowed to forgive someone or forgive something, but that doesn't mean it needs to stay in your life. And I was like, wow, that's so true. So having this moment to sort of like write it down as if you're saying to someone or whatever it is, and sort of like clearing the air, getting that closure that you need and you're seeking from that person or that thing, but you're just giving it to yourself. And burn-in ceremonies are a really great way to fully let go of something. To be honest, I've never burnt anything out of my journal, but I've definitely ripped it and put it in the bin because it's just like, it just feels so empowering and like you've really released it and let go. And even just getting it out in your journal, doesn't have to be ripped out, is enough. Like sometimes it's just like, oh my God, I'm just so glad I got that from my body and my brain that was holding up so much tension and space onto a piece of paper, and now I can fully move on and let it go. So the letting go process is really important before we bring anything new in. I just want to reiterate that because you're going to struggle to manifest or bring anything in if you haven't let go or made peace with other things. And even if it's just like writing this letter to yourself to be like, you know what, I'm so proud of the way you have handled the year that's just been. You know, you had some really hard moments, like, but you also had some really amazing moments, and this is your sign to let go and make peace with the year ahead. Leave 2024 in 2024 and open your heart and your space up for new things to come through. It can be literally as simple as that. Like, we haven't all had that much trauma going on, you know? So just get out what you need to get out, and yeah, allow yourself to feel the space for the new thing to come in. And then we can get onto creating our goals, creating out a map for what we want the year ahead to have, and whether this is something that you want to write down and break it down into categories, or something that you prefer to put visually. You might want to do it like written down before you put it into a vision board, but I think it's important to sort of like ask yourself questions before you actually add things to your vision board and like really internalize it and make sure it's aligned to you, and it's not just because you are seeing somebody else do it or you think that's what you should be doing. You know, it's about having that solitude and having that moment to like sit with yourself. And even though I like host, you know, workshops and things like that for these kind of things, it's really refreshing to see how different everyone's vision boards and goals are, because they're people that are very self-aware of not comparing themselves to others, because we're all on our own journey, and it's okay to have, someone might have running a marathon on their vision board and someone else might want to be starting a new job in a completely different, you know, industry, and then the next person might be wanting to travel to Paris. Like, it's all completely different things. Someone might want to be having a baby. Like, it's always going to be different. So asking yourself, why do I want this? Okay, like, why do I want it? And if you can't answer that question, then maybe it's because you don't actually want it. How is it going to make you feel? Is this going to impress other people? And if that's something you're doing to impress others, then again, is that the right intention behind the thing that you want? Is running a marathon something you want to do for you? Or is it because you want to impress other people by what you can do? There's nothing wrong with that being the feeling, but is it for you or is it for other people? And what impact has that had on you by trying to continue to prove yourself or impress other people? So I've definitely been there. So just, you know, this is about being a bit confrontational with yourself and being like, fuck, do I have to call myself out on this? You know? And is there a fear or is there an insecurity that might be influencing me to think I should need to do this or have this or be this or want this? You know, it's really facing a trigger perhaps within yourself, like, okay, fuck, like I think I should be running a marathon because running is a trend right now and everyone's doing it and I'm not successful, I haven't achieved anything in life until I've pounded the pavement, until my toenails bleed to run a marathon to prove myself to everyone. And until I do that, I'm going to feel very insecure and I'm going to feel very defeated and not successful and like I've achieved nothing in life. But that's bullshit. So I think these are really interesting things to think about when you are creating your goals and your vision board, because it's like we get so saturated and absorbed by so many other people's ideas and impressions and influences that we think we want something, but it's actually not our thoughts, it's not our beliefs, it's not our wants, it's not our desires, it's what we're thinking because of what everyone else is doing. So I think then the next thing to switch it into a more positive feeling is when you put this picture or this, write this goal down, it's how will I feel when I've actually achieved this? Am I going to be like, this was a little milestone and I'm proud of myself for doing that, but I know it's just a stepping stone to the next thing? Or is this a really big thing and I'm putting this on here because I'm in disbelief that I can actually even have this as a goal? And if I achieve this, I'm going to be able to achieve anything in the world. Like, how big or small is this goal and how is it going to make you feel? Is it going to make you feel like you have done the impossible? Is it going to make you feel like you're living out your purpose? Is it going to bring you joy? Is it going to bring you happiness? Or is it just going to be something that you've ticked off and you're just going to move on to the next thing and not give yourself the credit for achieving it? Like, you know, getting into that feeling though is really important, because that's what again helps bring in the thing that we want. So a high frequency feeling is obviously what we are hoping to receive when we have that thought about that goal. So the next question is, what can I do that's going to enable me to feel like that right now without having achieved that? And I think the early answer to that ultimately is to be grateful for what you do have and where you are in your life right now, because ultimately you need to be grateful and happy and proud of yourself for everything you've achieved and where you've gotten to now, and anything that comes from that, comes from now, is a bonus. So it can be hard when you feel like you haven't gotten anywhere in life yet, or where you want to, or you're still figuring out who you are and who you are becoming. And it can be hard to be like, well, how can I feel proud of myself, or how can I feel like I've achieved anything when I haven't achieved any of my goals, or I've never been able to manifest, or my vision board has never come true. Like, I can't feel that. But it's like, take a minute and just zoom right out and look at the life that you have. If you have a roof over your head, a family that loves you, supportive friends around you, a job that keeps you like financially floating, then you have so much already. And I love the saying, like, we already have so much more than some ever will. So I think just taking a huge step back and just looking at the life that you've got for what it is before you've put all these pressures and expectations onto yourself to continue to achieve and show up and purchase things and, you know, have all these assets and live out this timeline that society tells us we should be living, and just be grateful for the moment that we're in. Stop and appreciate it, smell the roses and be like, fuck, I've got a good life, and anything that comes from this day forward is just a bonus. And I'm going to feel that feeling of gratitude now, and that is what makes me more magnetic for more, because I'm like, universe, this is great. I am abundant. I am so grateful for the life I have. But, you know, show me how good it can get. Anything else is just going to be a bonus. And I believe there is a lot more to come. And the people who, I'm reading this, by the way, I haven't made this up. I'm not taking credit for that. The people whose visions become their reality are not the people who are obsessed with manifesting or manifestation techniques that they saw on the internet, but simply they live, breathe, eat, and sleep their desires. They aren't afraid to show up as their truest and most authentic selves. And that is fucking true, because if you aren't taking actionable steps to pretend to be living on that next frequency or that next level self, then you're not going to get there. And I did like circle back a few weeks ago, posted on one of my stories about my mantra of the week was visualize your highest self and start showing up as them. And that week I just up-leveled like on a whole different wavelength, because I was just doing little things each day that I normally wouldn't do that made me feel more confident, made me feel more put together, taking myself more seriously. Those little things for me is what's helping me work towards my next level self in stepping in better positions of leadership or opening myself up for more opportunities or for more income or whatever it might be, and not being like so needy of others or craving validation or distracting myself by external sources. It was like, no, I'm very self-focused this week because I'm too busy visualizing my higher self and how I can be her. And not in a selfish way that I'm like isolating myself from other people. I was absolutely putting myself in rooms with people that support me. But it was more so to just like become that self-focused that nothing can fuck with my energy. And when nothing fucks with my energy, I just continue to rise. The vibe continues to rise. So that's what really happens when you do embody the energy of the things that you're trying to achieve and the goals that you have for yourself. So it's really important to believe that you are already that person, already living that life, to help those things come in more quickly. And another big word is becoming. You can't just wake up one day and have achieved something. It's a journey. It's a process. It's a marathon, not a sprint. And it's about taking the small actionable steps, the small steps to the big goal. So for example, I've used this example so many times and I've never even, it hasn't come true for me, but it's only because I haven't taken the actionable steps. But I'm pretty sure I said like at a sweat and scribble event, like way back at the start of the year, setting a goal for myself to go on my first overseas trip. So I've never been overseas and I've always said I'd love to go to New Zealand, and I think I just want to go to New Zealand because it's like close to Australia and probably just will be Australia 2.0, but I don't really have the desire to go there anymore. But that was just my example at the time, somewhere I felt drawn to go. And I said, I would love to book a trip to New Zealand for my birthday. And the way I'm going to get there is by taking these actionable steps. I can't just wake up and I'm going to New Zealand if I haven't taken a step to plan this. The first step for me is I need to reapply for my passport because it's expired. I've had a passport that I've never used. Yes, correct. And I can't go overseas until I have a valid passport. So if I want to go overseas, I have to do that first. If I want international opportunities to come to me, I have to have a passport ready. Like, that's the first step. It's like I'm cock blocking myself from exiting Australia because I haven't got a valid passport. And like maybe an opportunity could still come in and I would just like have to hustle my way to get the passport. But I know that that's the universe's test for me. It's the block for me. Until I do that, I can't get to the next level. You know what I mean? Like I can't get through the next level of the game. So thinking about it like that, and then understanding, okay, that's one actionable step. And, you know, it's just because at the time I was like, I can't really be financially free enough to just put money into a passport when I don't even know if I'm going to go on a holiday. You know what I mean? So I didn't do it. And then, of course, I didn't go on a holiday internationally to New Zealand or to anywhere because I didn't do that. The next step, of course, would have then been like, okay, I've bought the passport. Now I'm going to start looking at flights and accommodation and maybe talking to someone who might want to come with me, blah, 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 booking it, flying there, waking up in Queenstown with snow on the mountains. Didn't happen because I didn't take an actual step. And so that's when people start to disbelieve in manifesting because they're like, well, what, you just think really hard about it and it comes true? And it's like, kind of, but you have to actually do the action and you have to visualize it and you have to plan it and you have to then send it off to the universe. It's like sending your letter to Santa at the North Pole and being like, okay, this is what I want, but I'm going to trust you that you're going to bring me what I actually need. And when that is, I trust the divine timing. So that's kind of what it's like to manifest. But the becoming part of it is allowing yourself to slowly get there, doing one little thing at a time so that you can be proud of yourself, you can feel grateful for the journey, you can be like, okay, it's easy to do that one thing, then it's going to be easy to do the next thing and the next thing. The smaller, more digestible, bite-sized pieces that you set out for yourself, you're going to feel like you're actually achieving more because you've broken the goal down into lots of little goals. And then once you get through all those little goals, you're going to end up at the finish line of the big goal, the big milestone, effortlessly. And then you're kind of going to be like, wow, I blinked and I was here. And I did this big thing that I didn't think I could do. But it's like overwhelming yourself with the big goal too early on. And I'm not shutting you down. I'm saying you can get there, but I'm just telling you, if you don't have this plan of becoming a part of it, then you won't get there. It's not going to just miraculously happen for you. Hard truth. So how to make a becoming vision board of becoming goal plan is like, okay, let's just say, I'm just going to relate it back to, I want you to try and use your own example because I always really struggle with this to try and make it relatable to everyone. I'm going to use a work example, okay? So let's just say your big goal is to get a job, a six-figure earning job, okay? I think that's a pretty big goal for a lot of people. And to get there, you often can't just like graduate uni or finish school or have zero qualification and just step into a job making over 100 grand. Like it's pretty slim pickings, unless I'm wrong, unless you jump on OnlyFans or something. But like, yeah, it's hard to do. So there's a journey to get to that. But everyone's goal is to at least, you know, not everyone's goal, sorry, I shouldn't say that, but I think a lot of people's goal is to get a really high paying job, to feel successful and to feel financially stable, to, you know, live their best life and buy a house and do other things, whatever, society pressure. But ultimately, if you want this six-figure earning job, you're going to have to take a few steps to get there. And the becoming of that is important. You can't just wake up and be the CEO. You can't just wake up and you've sold $100,000 worth of product on your website if you haven't built up the community behind that. You can't just walk out of school and walk into a job that's going to be earning that much money if you haven't got any experience and you haven't got any qualification and you haven't proved yourself of why you deserve that job and why they should be paying you that job. You know what I mean? Like, there's a few things that come first, and I guess you have to allow yourself to become ready for that and accepting of that. So, for example, for me personally, I've been on a career journey. I've been in, you know, casual jobs. I've been working. I work part-time. I got made full-time. I took on duplicated roles. I had responsibilities in jobs that I didn't really want to have, which made me feel like bottom of the food chain when I just wanted to be like known for what I could really do and tried to prove myself in jobs. But I just sort of had to keep learning different skills in that timeline that I didn't think I wanted to learn or needed to learn. But I just surrendered and I just bared up with it. And then that's what has actually built up my experience to have then gone and start a business and to do other kind of things within my business that I wouldn't have been able to do or wouldn't have had the confidence to do if I actually didn't have those responsibilities in my jobs when I was younger, and therefore build myself, you know, a strong brand and a strong business that has experience and a lot of different kind of projects. And I've then been able to go into other jobs and have other opportunities come up where I feel confident to apply for a job that might be, you know, a high paying job, or to charge more for my clients, because I have become slowly that person who is valued at that. And that's not to put myself up. It's to me to just sort of say that you do have to just slowly work your way to that. And you have to become that person. You have to do a lot of hard things. You have to work really hard. You have to be very confident. You have to be very open to making mistakes and having failures and learning and being accountable, being integral, living out your core values, being authentic, all the things. Having a lot of shit things happen to you, but at the same time, you have to become the person that you want to be by slowly doing things that are going to benefit you, like having a really strong morning routine, doing things for your mental health, putting yourself in rooms with people who are more successful than you. You have to continue to learn. You have to continue to grow. You can't be stagnant. You can't just loll in bed all day and hope that you're going to make $1 million. Like, you have to slowly become that person. And I think for me, I'm slowly becoming the kind of leader and the kind of person I want to do by creating a lifestyle that's not even about work. It's about who I am as a person. So sometimes the things, the goals we want, we think are only relevant to one part of our life, but they actually might be relevant to a whole lot of things. It could be like, you might have a fitness goal, all right? You might want to have like a goal to lose weight, or you might want to like get really fit, or you might want to eat more healthy, whatever it is, like whatever your personal goal is. You might have that, and you might be working your ass off in the gym. You might be restricting yourself from food. Like, I'm not encouraging any of this, by the way. This is a shit example, so don't even really think about it like this, but just sort of proving how it can reflect in other areas of your life. But you push yourself to the extremes in this one, like, I'm looking at it visually, like in a vertical column, like you're pushing yourself in this health column of like restrictive eating, belting yourself at the gym, you know, you have all this pressure on you to look a certain way, and you're sacrificing things like, you know, eating or drinking when you go out or going to parties or socializing with your friends and your family. And you're putting yourself in this one column thinking, why am I not achieving the goal I want? Because I'm doing all the things I should be doing. I'm eating healthy. I'm working out, whatever. But over in another column in your life, you might be having a lot of stress at work and you're not in an aligned job, and you might be having a lot of pressure put on you by your boss, and you might be dealing with difficult customers or clients, and you might not be getting paid what you want to get paid, and you might actually be working yourself to the bone and not actually having a healthy life at work, which is then going to have implication on your healthy life when it comes to the fitness and the food that you're eating. And you know, you might not be getting to the goals you want to because over in another column there's something out of alignment. And if that's not balancing out in other areas of your life, if there's not some streamline, then there's going to be implications in other areas of your life. So simply put, reflect that in the opposite channel. If you're wanting to get somewhere in your work life, you're wanting to be successful, you're wanting to be like a good leader, you're wanting to get a promotion, you're wanting to start your own business, that's not going to happen if your health and wellness life isn't balanced. If you're someone who's rotting away in bed, doom scrolling, not doing anything for your mental health or to socialize or to move your body or exercise or have clear, like have mental clarity, or, you know, to think clearly or whatever it is, that's the same thing. But if you're not doing that, then over here in your health life, that's where the implication is then going to infect your work life. I'm not really doing a good job of explaining this, but I think you're gathering the picture. Like, there's always going to be trajectories in your life. If things aren't in juxtaposition, then there's going to be implications, and it's going to infect other areas of your life. And that's why it's important, circling back, we're bringing it back together. I think I'm doing a good job of this, to set goals in every category of your life, in your life buckets, so that you are pouring into every bucket equally or as much as you can, ebbs and flows, but you know that when you come back and you've got, you haven't just put all your eggs in one basket, you're not just focusing on one area of your life and then the others are feeling like drained buckets. You know, it's important to pour into all of them. So having goals equally balanced in every area of your life so that you're knowing that when you've achieved those three goals in your health, or the three goals at work, or three goals in your travel, or three goals in your relationship, that it's then time to like be like, okay, well now I've got to pour back into myself, back into my health, back into my work, back into my me time, the relationship, my family. Maybe I need to take some time away and go traveling. You'll know to then balance it out because you've got goals in every category of your life and not just one. And then you're going to be so aware of the implications and the infections into other areas of your life because you're like, well, I'm not balancing it out. So of course things are going to feel off because in one area I'm absolutely drained and in the other area I think I'm thriving, but really I'm not going to thrive if I'm not thriving across the board. And there's always going to be parts of our life that aren't perfect. I'm not saying that we have to be perfect with all our ducks in a row, but it's about being self-aware that you have to just pour as equally as you can into all those buckets to try and keep yourself at an equilibrium. I love using that word because I can't say it. To then ultimately create a vision and a life to work towards the next level that happens in a flow because everything just is a slippery little snake and there's no harsh lines and there's no interfering. It's just like everything flows because everything's aligned and everything's on the one wavelength. You know what I mean? That's what I'm trying to say. So when we're creating our vision board, it's important to make sure that we're spreading out the love, making it as equal as we can, and that way we're going to get somewhere. We're going to get to where we want to get to. Now, the letter, the love letter to ourselves. And you shouldn't just do this at the end of the year. You should do this like all the time. You should do this like every day. Writing a love letter to yourself. Would you write a love letter to someone that you love? Would you write a love letter to your friend? Would you write a love letter to your partner? Would you leave a letter for someone, to like a little note for someone to be like make their day? Yeah, you would. So why don't you do it to yourself? So this is my favorite thing to write at the end of the year. And the letter to my 2025 self is addressing yourself from yourself, obviously, as well. But it's kind of like writing everything out. It's not kind of like this is how you kind of got to do it if you want it to come true, or at least kind of, is writing this letter to yourself as if you are reading it and all these things have already come true, come into fruition. We've got to write it in like present, past tense kind of thing. Not like, okay, I hope in 2025 that I find the love of my life. It's like, dear Alyssa, it's December 31st, 2025, and you are sitting in your blah, 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 blah. And it doesn't have to be like all a list of all the things you've manifested. It could just be like, this year has been full of this, full of that. I'm so proud of you. Like it honestly can be as deep, it can be as vision boardy, it can be as manifesty, as whatever you want. But it's important to just write it with so much love, so much self-belief, so much optimism that you're going to get to the end of the year and you're going to read that letter back to yourself and you're going to be like, holy fucking shit. I had this on my heart and that's why it poured out of me into this letter and it all came true, or this came true, or that came true, or that I thought that was going to happen and I wanted that to happen, but this came instead and it was 10 times better than I could have imagined. And I dealt with all these hiccups and challenges and hurdles, but wow, I got to the end of the year and what a year I've had. You know what I mean? Like, you'll know what you need to write in this letter to yourself, but it's important that you sit down in a really calm, safe space when you feel ready and you write this letter to yourself, your 2025 self, because they're going to be a whole new level of you, a whole new person. A lot can change in a year, a lot can change in 6 months, but make sure that you put so much love into this letter. And, you know, imagine like you're giving this to this person and you're just giving them a big hug and you're just like, you are the coolest fucking person I know, and I am looking up to you so much. Like, my 2024 version of myself is looking at you with just like heart eyes, teary, happy face, because it's just like, I'm so fucking proud of you, and I didn't think we could get any cooler than we are, but we have, and we've achieved a lot. And I knew I needed to trust the process and the divine timing, because this was going to be the year that it all came to fruition. This is the best year I've ever had. You know what I mean? Write it to your future self. Write that dream. Write that goal. Write whatever you want. But sit down. Write it all out. You know, you're going to love reading it. And even if it's like an email and you send it to yourself, like you schedule the email to send to yourself on like December 31st, like that could be fun. That could be fun if you're not someone who has a journal, wants to sit down and put pen to paper. If you're more like always on your phone or always on your computer or whatever, send an email to yourself. I challenge you. But whatever you do, do it with love. Put your goals into your buckets and make 2025 the best year you've ever fucking had, because you deserve it and you can do it, and I believe in you, and it's time you believe in yourself. This is your year. And you're going to make things happen. Big things happen. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of my heart for your sweetest, supportive energy and love that you have sent me and surrounded me with this whole year. I am so blessed and abundantly grateful for you all, for being listeners, for tuning in, for supporting everything that I do, and just honestly showing up and listening to benefit yourself as well. I'm so, so, so thankful, and I cannot wait to be back for season 3, what the fuck, of Catch Me Outside My Comfort Zone, whenever that aligned timing comes to me in 2025. But sending you all so much love. Happy New Year. Happy new next level self. I cannot wait to see and hear about all the beautiful things you achieve in the next 12 months. Lots of love.